When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Here's your money briefing. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Renting homes, leasing cars, streaming music. More and more people are opting out of owning their stuff. The Wall Street Journal's J.R. Whalen talks with Heard on the Street columnist Justin Lehart about the new rental economy and what an economic downturn could mean for those business models. But first, here are some money and market headlines. A number of Democratic presidential candidates have proposed a wealth tax, and that might have a positive ripple effect for charities. Potentially facing an annual tax that would eat into their returns and shrink wealth, billionaires would have an incentive to give their money to avoid taxes, which could spark a short-term boom in billionaires donating to charities. Senator Elizabeth Warren is calling for a 6% wealth tax rate, while Senator Bernie Sanders' plan calls for 8% a year. But the long-term effects of the wealth tax proposals would be much more uncertain, dependent on individuals' giving strategies and on whether the tax prevents accumulations of wealth in the first place. Having a job license could soon be the ticket to a loan. Credit scores used to just reflect a person's history of paying off debt. But a new credit score called LIFT will soon factor in other things like professional licenses in real estate, hairstyling, or plumbing. LIFT, that's L-I-F-T, was created by the credit reporting firm Experian. It's aimed at helping lenders make loans available to consumers with no or limited borrowing histories by providing the lenders with more data to help identify good credit risks they otherwise might overlook. And speaking of taking out loans, more people in the U.S. are facing the financial realities of being in debt, whether it's a car loan, credit cards, or student loans. Consumer debt has climbed to $4 trillion. With stagnant wages and rising costs, many people are turning to loans or credit, even for purchases like a car or a sweater. In an ongoing series, The Wall Street Journal is looking into debt in America and how some families are maintaining their middle-class lifestyle. If you want to share a story about dealing with debt, go to WSJ.com. Coming up, we'll look at people who are opting out of owning in the rental economy.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Renting is in. Whether it be homes or cars, renting provides consumers flexibility and in some cases financial peace of mind. But will consumers continue to rent when the economy turns downward? That's a big question facing investors. And Wall Street Journal Heard on the Street columnist Justin Lehart is here to discuss. So Justin, the area where the rental industry has seen substantial growth is in housing.
The first thing that drove the shift to renting was the financial crisis. And let's start out with the most obvious thing, which is the housing market. So after the housing market crashed, a lot of people lost their homes. A lot of people were deeply underwater on their mortgages. Banks were less willing to lend, and people didn't see housing as this surefire way of stockpiling savings like they did before. So what we've seen since the housing crisis is that the ownership rate in the U.S. has gone down, and it hasn't really come back up. So more and more people, particularly in the millennial generation, are renting now. That has drawbacks. One drawback is, you know, really it is a good way, or it was a way that people saved money. You know, even if housing prices don't, you know, aren't guaranteed to go up, but it was a way of stockpiling money and
to get on your feet, rent a place for a couple of years.
Then you own a place, and that was good. But there are downsides to home ownership. You're not flexible. You can't just pack up and move. If your little neck of the United States is having a tough time, you can't move to someplace else where things are better as easily as you can. If you rent, you can't downsize very quickly if the economy turns sour. And that's something that's available to renters.
The current economic boom has created what's been called the asset-light consumer. What does that mean?
It's not just houses that people are effectively renting. People are renting cars. I mean, we don't call it renting. We call it leasing. And if you look at something like nearly a third of new cars now are leased, and that's double the rate of a decade ago.
You know, we don't know how the asset-light consumer will respond to an economic downturn, but what is the message that we can glean from the auto leasing market?
Auto leases were one of the many problems that car companies ran into in the Great Recession. So that lesson seems like it may have been unlearned to a point. And listen, renting, if you're a business in the business, or if you are a company in the business of renting or leasing, there are advantages to this. You get this nice, smooth income stream, and investors really like that. It's a much more predictable or seemingly predictable business, and one that you can value, and one that ultimately should fetch a higher valuation than if you had really lumpy earnings.
Now, in terms of the car companies back when the recession hit, is that because that you had expired leases and they had suddenly had to do something with all these cars?
Yeah, exactly. So the way leasing works, right, they have an assumption about what the resale value of the car is going to be. And all of a sudden, in that horrible downturn, those resale values plummeted. People weren't re-upping leases. So the whole model kind of fell apart.
And then people renting homes, in this new wave of rentals, there's a new crop, a new generation of landlords, and suddenly they're very exposed in the event a recession hits.
Right. So there are a lot of large private equity investors and also smaller investors who went in and have bought up single family houses and are renting them now. So that's a model for them. And it is, right, it seems like a decent model, but it's very much untested. We don't know what happens. We do know that, right, if it's a rental model, it's very hard to raise rents in a downturn, and it is impossible for people to leave those leases, rent something further out, rent something smaller, to try and cut their costs.
And it's not just even cars and homes. The idea of renting has just permeated all of our society. Even entertainment is rented.
Many people will stream. Now you have Spotify or another music service. The same thing. You don't have a DVD or a video collection anymore. You just use Netflix or Amazon Prime, or any number of new platforms that have come out. So there are these subscription models where you are effectively renting content. Again, what happens in a downturn? Do you decide to dial back on some of those subscription models? You may not have access to that music or that video anymore, but you'll be able to save money.
Is there a hedge involved that the investment community is building on or relying on? I can't imagine that they're just going to be sitting there like a sitting duck when the recession hits. Is there some preparation for any degree of recession?
Yeah, I don't know what the preparation is. And again, these are all very, very new models. So they're largely untested, right? Netflix wasn't streaming until 2007. Which is basically when the recession started, and it was a much smaller company then, right?
Putting DVDs in the mail back and forth to Netflix.
Yeah, right. And even then, they were still doing DVDs back and forth in the mail, and there was this new thing, and you could get streaming as well. Now it is almost purely a streaming company. How do people respond? Do people, do you cut back on some of these streaming channels? If you're an Amazon Prime customer, do you decide, maybe I'm going to forego that and just stick with Netflix or vice versa? We don't know.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal Heard on the Street columnist Justin Lehart here in our studio. Justin, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for the Wall Street Journal.